Welcome to Rainbow Wedding Network's podcast. RainbowWeddingNetwork.com was launched in September 2000 and has been a trusted LGBT wedding resource for 15 years. RWN has produced an ongoing national tour of LGBT wedding expos with over 150 events in 28 different states since 2003. We also offer an extensive online directory with screened gay-friendly wedding and home-related businesses, a free honeymoon registry, customized wedding web pages for couples, LGBT-specific ceremony planning tips, parenting resources, and more. Check us out online at RainbowWeddingNetwork.com and also at SameLoveSameRights.com for further information, links to social media, or to make a donation to help keeping this podcast going strong. Thank you. All right. Hello, everybody. We are back for our second podcast here at Rainbow Wedding Network. We've got our team Cindy and Ira and myself, Marianne, here talking to you today. I just wanted to go over a couple of fun updates about Rainbow Wedding Network. We just produced our final LGBT Wedding Expo this past Sunday in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It was our final one of the year, not our final forever. Next year, we will ramp up the event schedule, the event calendar once again, with 25 to 30 events all across the country next year. But this last one in Massachusetts this past weekend, November 8th, was a lot of fun. Cindy was there. How did it go?
Whew, busy. It was a great show. Of course, it's so exciting to go back there every year. Back to the Sheridan, back to Harvard Square. It's such a beautiful venue and a beautiful place. And like I said, I think yesterday, I felt like I was going back to the birthplace of marriage equality, you know. And it seems like yesterday we were there in 2004.
It went so fast.
Yeah, but the couples, of course, are so fun and so amazing. Those couples are just, they're so great to meet and to talk to. And, of course, we can't thank our exhibitors enough for participating in the expo once again. So it was a great day. It was a great day. Now we've got 8 weeks, almost exactly 8 weeks until our next event in Jersey City. So that'll be our third annual there at the Liberty House in Jersey City. So you and I and Ira get to rest for 8 weeks, right? Mm-hmm. And then start the
madness back up again. I think it's interesting though. I've had this question come up quite a bit on the phone lately with people saying, "Well, you know, do we really need LGBT wedding expos anymore? You know, that Supreme Court decision was a big deal. How much is this resource still needed?" But we return to Massachusetts there outside of Boston every year, and
there was
they had marriage equality back in 2004. It's been 11 years they've had full marriage recognition in Massachusetts, and we can fill up that ballroom year after year because those couples still see the need and still find that it's comfortable to be able to walk into a space like that and know that every vendor is absolutely gay-friendly. They don't have to translate themselves to these vendors. They can just walk right up and jump right into the ceremony planning without, you know, saying, "Well, this is, you know, this is not my brother. This is the man I'm marrying."
Or, exactly.
"We're not, you know, this isn't my maid of honor. We're the ones getting married." They don't have to do any of that. They can just launch right into, "Hey, you know, let's plan our wedding."
That's right. There's no awkwardness to walk into our wedding expo if you're a same-sex couple planning a wedding, and that's what makes us unique, and that's also makes us still very needed in all across the country and even in Mass. As a matter of fact, our contact Judy with the hotel just contacted us this morning about setting the date for 2016. So we'll be right back there probably again in November in 2016. So
yeah,
very exciting. Mm-hmm. Now we're all going to rest after we do the podcast.
Oh, if that were true. Another update, you know, regarding the podcast, of course, we're very excited to be doing this. Cindy has been dreaming of putting together a podcast for me for a while now, so it's exciting that we're getting this off the ground. Thank you for listening, and thank you for passing the word around that we are existing out here in the internet world of broadcasting now, and letting people know, because we plan to continue providing insights planning tips, trends, thoughts on current events that are pertinent to the LGBT minority with regard to marriage and family rights. So we'd love to have you listen.
And, of course, our charming, unique personalities as well. People want to tune in for that.
That's right. That's true. That's right.
Not to be overlooked. So, in today's podcast, we are going to be talking about wedding theme ideas.
Yes.
And also vows and promises for your wedding. And then, of course, we'll be touching base about a particular current event that I'm not going to disclose until later on in the broadcast. So, you'll have to stay tuned for that. But kicking things off, we're going to talk about wedding themes.
Yes.
Yeah.
How exciting.
Well, what, yeah.
Wedding themes. They can really make a wedding, right? Something fun. I mean, when I was doing research on wedding themes, there are all kinds of wedding themes out there. And it's amazing how it can be simple to just extraordinary. And so there's lots there to go on for wedding themes. But, of course, deciding on what type of themed wedding is right for you is simply bringing in different aspects of your relationship into the wedding day and what is important to both of you, whether it's a special movie, music, a special book, or a place like a beach or mountains, right?
Yeah.
Having a themed wedding can also help you narrow down your decor choices, your menu, and even what you wear.
Absolutely. All that can fit together. People put together amazing, you know, parties with a theme.
Exactly.
A wedding with a theme. It doesn't mean you have to dress up in costumes, although some people do.
Absolutely.
It simply means that you have a focal point around which to plan this event.
That's right. And of course, considering the time of year and the venue for your theme wedding would be important. Your attire and the attire of your wedding party should match your theme, whether it is a dress or a costume.
Yeah.
Same goes for makeup and hair. If you're walking down the aisle, you can incorporate that into your theme, like walking down a yellow brick road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? Your officiant's attire can match your themed wedding. When I was doing some research on themed wedding, I saw a zombie wedding, and the officiant was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. The makeup, the attire, I mean, it was great. It was awesome. So, you can also add special moments during your wedding ceremony to enhance your theme, like having your best person read a quote or a special reading. Your photographs after the ceremony should be a fun time to create the perfect memories of your theme wedding using props, lighting, vibrant colors to enhance your theme. And, of course, your reception, the party, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a critical time in you know, carrying forward your wedding theme. Everything from the entrance to your reception to the seating chart, table decor, music, maybe adding a signature themed cocktail.
Absolutely. That can be a lot of fun. And dessert, too.
Dessert.
I've seen dessert that, you know, representative of themes, whether it's the cake decorations or something very different from that.
That's
you
right.
know, like
yeah.
if you're having a vintage wedding and you just happen to have a little candy bar, but it's all vintage candy, you know, just adding in little things like that can be so much fun.
That's right. Your menu should all reflect the theme of your wedding. And then when you depart the wedding, your wedding reception, once again, this is a great time to leave your guest in awe.
Right? I wonder how the zombies left their wedding.
Oh, I know. Exactly. I mean, there's countless ways to depart your wedding that will, you know, enhance that wedding theme. So why don't we talk about a few different wedding themes that we've researched. I think Ira's got a few of them.
Yeah, you can do anything fun from nerdy and geeky, like video games. I've even seen some, you know, Super Mario Brothers weddings out there. You could do the Mario and Luigi costume, you know, cosplay for your wedding. Have a toadstool cake. You can even incorporate a kind of pixelated background, like the background to the video game behind the altar. Even down to different menu items that are served. One of the fun ideas I came up with was actually using the gold chocolate coins and kind of have them hung over the reception tables, just like the coins in the game. So it's a something you can have fun with too. You can even do a lot yourself. On to fairy tale weddings, like if you're a big fan of anything Disney, like Aladdin and Jasmine,
yeah.
Beauty and the Beast, which happens to be a personal favorite. Of course, Disneyland, Disney World do fairy tale weddings, but even if you're not going to one of those destinations, you can can do it up with costume play. Something for the Beauty and the Beast theme would be, you know, traditional china, or even you could find antique china at a flea market with chipped cups for the little characters that you see in the show. On to something that I've always found fun and always thought was a neat idea from Steel Magnolias. I'm going to label myself as very gay now. To the silver armadillo groom's cake that they had there. I always thought that was a fun thing as well. And for some people who are interested in Orange is the New Black, you could really go far with that theme. Have a prison setting, everybody in orange jumpsuits. You've got Red set up the reception as a cafeteria. You've got Red there serving the food. So there are a lot of great ideas you can come up with to create a theme that reflects both of you.
And you can be subtle, of course, with your theme, too.
Right, right.
You
know, absolutely.
You can just, if you're into Disney, you can have the table settings labeled with Disney characters or, you know, and then the vintage plateware, invite guests to dress if they would like, or, you know, just incorporating Cinderella's slipper in the drinks, you know, or the cake or something. But not necessarily have costumes going on, or not necessarily going full out with the decor, other than certain, you know,
like
certain
I was thinking, rustic
accents.
Weddings. You know, rustic weddings are great because that's a theme, you know. But maybe it's just you have your ceremony in a farm, you know, and you use. There's all kinds of barn rentals now for receptions.
Yeah.
You know,
those are nice.
Yeah, and you know you can. You know, you can use rustic furniture or luggage or shutters or signage, you know, that's, again, that's kind of a little more subtle. Or you can go all out with I asked this weekend in the Boston Expo if anybody was having a themed wedding. We had a couple that was going to do Alice in Wonderland, and then we had a couple that was going to do Batman, you know, so, and, you know, I was going out there some too as a carnival type of wedding. You know, that's kind of fun where you can include cotton candy, you know, or tickets, you know, like entry to the carnival as centerpieces or a kissing booth. You know, everybody has, a lot of people use photo booths, but making that more of a kissing booth instead,
right.
You know, that's kind of cute. Or I think Ira touched on it too, is like an antique or flea market where that's not as out there, you know, as a carnival or a circus type of wedding, but it could be using antique jars or the type of flowers, using more cottage floral arrangements or...
Yeah, make it a little more rustic.
Yeah, exactly.
I've always thought that was a very charming theme. So.
And of course, books, as I am a book lover, you know, you can do custom wrap books for your favors or card catalog as a seating chart. You know, there's all kinds of just simple things that you could do as well that again aren't the extravagant themed wedding, but more of just
tempered,
right? And again, that talks about you and your partner or your fiance. You know, that bring that aspect of you into the wedding.
I didn't necessarily think about theme when I think about theme weddings. I'm thinking the big lavish details, but you're right. I mean, just bringing in your own personalities and deciding you want an outdoor wedding, that can be your theme.
Right.
Okay, my theme is I have an outdoor wedding, and my florals are going to be organics, and they're going to be very natural with a, you know, loose twine or, you know, burlap wrapping the bouquet, and my centerpieces are, you know, going to be in some type of old-fashioned jar or tin can or, you know, and it's not huge, like, but the details are all the outdoor wedding theme. And that's
exactly
a theme.
Exactly.
You know?
That is a theme. Absolutely.
So when we say theme, we're talking the whole spectrum there.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. From the simple to the, you know, Batman theme or, you know, zombie theme and having everybody in costume.
Right.
You know, and maybe, you know, rustic is that your wedding dress is an antique wedding dress, you know, or something like that. So it can go. You're right, it goes the whole spectrum. And what's cool is there's tons of rental companies out there that specialize in vintage and rustic weddings. There's probably tons of rental companies that specialize in theme weddings where you can go extravagant with your Batman theme or your zombie theme as well. So
good part of that too is you don't really have to know the specifics of each detail. You just kind of have to have an idea, and then somebody can provide the guidance, because sometimes it's good to get that creative input from your, you know, your wedding planner or from your rental company to be able to create that theme if you don't know exactly what you want, but you just kind of have a general idea.
Yeah, that's true. To invite their creativity, because they do have so much to pull from.
Yeah, their inventory can be large.
Yeah.
You know, their inventory there can be large, from big furniture pieces to, you know, to the tiniest of detail that you would add to your table decor or something like that. So
even having a traditional wedding, traditional is your theme.
Right, right.
If you think about it, you know, and you can communicate that to your vendors, then they can jump in with you. Even the DJ can say, okay, I've got this idea for the lighting at the DJ booth that I'd like to do that will fit in with the theme of traditional, or the theme of vintage, or the theme of simple as your wedding colors are black and white and red. You know, mm-hmm. I've got this pattern I want to emphasize. So what do you think? You know, so if you communicate that with your vendors, I think it can go that much further. Whether you want it to be subtle or not, you know, you can reel things in as suits your style, or even go all out. We once featured a couple in our Real Couples, Real Weddings segment of the magazine, and they had a casino-themed wedding.
Fun.
And they invited all their guests to dress like 1920s, 1930s.
Yes.
Kind of a Great Gatsby-type feel. And then they had games for the wedding guests to play during the reception that were casino-oriented. It was just fun. The photos came out really fun, and everybody enjoyed themselves, because sometimes at a wedding, people, not so much at gay and lesbian weddings, but sometimes people say at weddings they do a lot of sitting and maybe catching up with family, but, you know, it can be a little boring, you know. So when you have a themed wedding and you have those interactive things for people to really get into, it just adds that much more fun, I think.
And, you know, one thing that we touched on last week in our podcast was how to, you know, proposal ideas. Uh-huh. Well, carrying that, we talked about different, you know, ideas to propose that, again, represents you and your partner, right? Whether it's incorporating a movie or, you know, so you can take that from the proposal all the way through the reception. And when you are leaving the wedding, so that can go all the way.
Yeah.
That theme. From the beginning to the end. And again, it is all just about incorporating yourselves into the wedding.
True.
It is your day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is your day.
And you should own that. I think a lot of lesbians sometimes get hesitant about that because it's just their nature. But it can be tempered and yet authentic.
Exactly.
And I think that's important, because hopefully you're only doing this once.
That's right.
And you want to own it as your day. So make the most of it.
That's right.
Yeah. Along these lines, I have also been researching color swatches.
Oh, fun.
Trends for 2016. So I wanted to share some of what I found out there. First of all, some people do get intimidated nowadays. You know, back in the 80s and such, when you think about weddings, you think about two colors, you know, or what have you. And now there's this whole color palette thing when you're looking on Pinterest or on the internet, and it can be kind of intimidating.
Sure.
But it doesn't have to be. I think you can really go ahead and if you can, sometimes it's just one partner who's really leaning toward the ideas on color, you know, but it's not always the case. But if you two can figure out, okay, one main color or two colors you want to go with, and then I find if you do just randomly search around the internet with those two colors in mind, you can find different palette ideas that will add those accent colors. And sometimes that sounds overwhelming, but when you look at it and you look at a full palette that you have picked out, or your wedding planner or your florist has helped you pick out, it really is nice to flesh out those details with the accent colors. It can be 5-6 colors.
Mm-hmm.
And you can think, really, do I need that many? But the way they fit together can be really amazing. And Cindy, being a photographer, I'm sure, you know,
it's details.
Yeah.
It's,
the
it's
way color fits together.
It's all about the details.
Yeah.
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 And again, you might, it might seem overwhelming. And what did we do before Pinterest?
I mean, I don't know. What did we do? We were just lost people.
And so, there's so many great ideas out there now. And
so many people, whether it's DIY or they have professionals helping them, love to share what they've done.
Exactly.
So there's just more and more information, obviously, to pull from, which is awesome. But, you know, it's not just about color these days. It's about texture.
Yes.
And you'll find color names reflect texture. Like, you'll see burlap as a color now. And it brings to mind not just the color, but the texture. Or you'll see sea sand. Or, you know, something like that. And so it evokes not just color, but texture, which goes right back into wedding theme. And it all does really fit together. Mm-hmm. So again, if you are on the fence about an event planner, this might be a reason to go forward with a professional who can help nail down some of these aspects. And it just really rocks your wedding in terms mm-hmm. of those details.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think the trendiest thing right now with wedding colors still is the natural look. You know, we mentioned rustic a lot with themes. I think natural continues to be really big.
That makes my heart sing, by the way.
You know, natural colors photograph well, I think Cindy can tell us. And there's something about, like, you feel very natural. Feel very relaxed in your photographs around natural colors, so that comes through well. So that is something to consider. If you're thinking about going natural, I suggest starting a conversation with your florist first mm-hmm. to pin down what type of florals you're looking at. If you really are thinking about sunflowers, and then you and your florist can come up with a mix of those other florals that will accent that. Then you've got your ceremony colors, and you've got your swatches, and you've got your palette, and you've got your theme, and you're building on that. So that's a good place to start. But there's all kinds, obviously, of colors to go with those naturals. Another really hot thing that's trending right now in terms of color swatches is the metallics. You know, they came through the last year or so, and they're still very popular.
Oh, wow.
I saw a lot in my research of copper.
Oh, nice.
Which makes me happy.
I've been pro copper
for years. And that is coming to be, I think, more popular this year than gold. So we've got, like, copper, navy blue, and an organic green.
Is
the beginning of a palette that's very hot right now. There's still a lot of blues that are going right now. People are still thinking of teal or turquoise or mint, and then adding in their accent colors. So a lot of those lighter blues.
Some chocolate.
Yeah. Chocolate is still, of course, pretty popular. Mm-hmm. Gray and silver as accent colors, still popular. The blush pink as an accent, still very popular. A nice palette that I came across that I personally resonated with was raspberry, light coffee, and then that blush pink as an accent. You put those together, just very elegant and also kind of upbeat, you know?
Right.
Good for spring weddings.
Sure.
Yeah. So, again, that internet is a great resource. I say don't necessarily look for what people are saying is trending right now, but go with what you want.
Exactly. Of course. You know?
And then, as we've said, it all fits in with your theme.
You can plug that into Google image search or Yahoo image search online to find, you know, plug your colors in and find combinations of different items you can incorporate into your ceremony or reception, be it, you know, you're talking about the rustic weddings, the wooden, you know, picnic table with the maybe rusty copper kettle as your vase with the sunflowers in there. So it can be, you know, it doesn't just have to be your flowers. It can be little elements of your ceremony and the decor, from linens to, you know, vases for your reception, that can reflect those colors and reflect those natural elements.
Yeah. Plugging that into your search online and it comes up with different
actual things.
And
not
it can
just
be fun.
Colors and, like I said, textures.
You don't have to look at it as so two-dimensional. You and your partner can sit down. It doesn't have to
See,
be so.
The young folks think outside the box.
So, you know, overwhelming to do that can just be something fun. You can think of those different ideas, draw those ideas from those images online and not feel like you're looking at a flat color palette like you're picking out, you know, paint for the nursery or whatever. You can actually turn it into objects. You can
physical objects.
Physical objects.
You can
draw that
yeah.
connection to. Absolutely.
Yeah, great idea.
So that goes
that.
To our Facebook question.
Okay.
Is and we're using the hashtag wedding themes. Is to visit our Facebook page at facebook.com/rwncom or Twitter at Gay Weddings.
Okay.
And use the hashtag wedding themes and tell us your wedding theme. We would love more ideas and just to know what everybody's doing out there in Facebook land. So, or Twitter land. So make sure you Facebook us or send us a tweet and tell us and use the hashtag wedding themes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, the idea of theme is having fun at your wedding.
Absolutely.
And that's great because LGBT weddings in particular, you know, the couples are so grateful and so excited to be able to marry that they don't lose sight of the fact that it's about making this commitment to each other, but also about having fun doing it.
That's right.
So I think, you know, it's just neat to know how many couples are out there really actively thinking about their theme, the message that they're sending with the party itself and having a good time with it. Yeah. Excellent time to be getting married out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are going to be talking about vows and promises in just a moment. But first, I did want to mention one of our sponsors for today's podcast, and that is the Liberty House Restaurant in Jersey City. The Liberty House has signature floor-to-ceiling, unobstructed views of the Manhattan skyline and the Statue of Liberty. Designed to exemplify the view with a room concept, Liberty House offers chic elegance inside and out with a luxurious second floor grand ballroom, outdoor garden, climate-controlled tent space, and spacious, attractively landscaped terraces and grounds. Award-winning farm-to-table cuisine is also a highlight at Liberty House, with delicious and nourishing dishes that will inspire and pamper you and your guests. Stop into the restaurant sometime for a casual meal and get to know their wonderfully gracious staff. The Liberty House in Jersey City, New Jersey, is the proud sponsor of Rainbow Wedding Network's Same Love, Same Rights LGBT Wedding Expo for 3 years running. Welcome! Our doors and our hearts are open to you and your partner. So our thanks to the Liberty House there in Jersey City. And in a moment, we'll be talking about vows and promises. All right, we are back and ready to talk about ceremony vows and promises. Cindy was going to give a little overview about vows.
Yeah,
for
how
us.
Exciting, right? Yeah. What a special time during your wedding, of course. And of course, marriage vows are promises that each partner makes to the other during a wedding ceremony.
Oh,
yeah.
This is when the tissues come out.
That's mm-hmm. right. Vows can be cultural. They be religious. They could be funny. They could have a special poem or a passage from a book, from your favorite song that, of course, just best describes the meaning of love and marriage for the couple. There are all different types. I mean, oh my goodness, it's almost like wedding themes, right? How you can do your vows. Of course, there are traditional and religious vows. Each religious faith has wedding traditions and practices, including standard wedding vows that have been passed down through generations. Meeting with your officiant and deciding on the vows for your wedding is, of course, a very good first step. So
yeah,
making sure to meet with that officiant is and going over what type of vows you want to incorporate in your wedding, of course, is a very important step. There are non-traditional vows. Again, meeting with your officiant, it's their job really to facilitate your wedding, and you and your partner may write your own wedding vows. You may want to include a family member or your best person to read a poem or a passage from a book. And once again, we're going to just make sure to say this is, make sure all that is rehearsed before your wedding day. If you do have a poem or a passage from a book, you know, you want to, and you're going to have your best person read that or a family member, it's very important to rehearse that and have that thought out well in advance of your wedding day.
Although a lot of couples keep their vows secret from each other before the wedding.
That's
so
true.
That but still, is true. It is good to practice the act, you know, because sometimes you have a piece of paper and you need to be able to know, okay, it is in this pocket or it's in my best person's pocket. So I need to practice getting the paper. I need to practice unfolding it when I'm nervous. I need to practice standing there, and, you know.
Exactly.
So it's good to practice all of that stuff.
And something fun you can do, too, is incorporate a family tradition or something special that your parents use for their wedding can also be a nice touch during that, during the wedding vow moment of your wedding. So,
yeah, absolutely. There's again, a whole spectrum of options available, but this is the part in your ceremony where you're standing with your partner and you're making those promises for your lifetime together. And how do you boil that down?
Right.
You know? Not to put too much pressure on it.
Yeah.
It can be a rather intimidating part of the ceremony, but I think it's also important to remember you want to rehearse. You're in front of your family, your friends. You want to rehearse a little bit so you feel comfortable more with yourself and with what you're going to read. But it's also important to remember that it's a conversation, a promise between you and your partner, so it can be more personal. Focus on their eyes. Focus on them. If you're like me and you get a little more nervous when you're in front of a crowd, it's good to remember that it's about the two of you. You don't have to feel nervous about this commitment, about your conversation, your relationship, that you can talk. Try to make it more of a personal conversation between the two of you. And you don't have to focus much on the audience if you're like that. Or, you know, if you're dramatic, you could make it a Shakespeare experience. But it can be a little bit more of an intimate conversation that you don't have to feel so intimidated by, too.
And definitely practice while you're crying. That's important too. Yeah. So you can say everything in that. Hopefully it's not the ugly cry where you're hysterical, but it's just the, you know, tears rolling down your face.
And even if it is, you're just happy to have that moment. So you can break down. It's your ceremony.
That's right. Darn it.
Here I have some inspiration. Let's see if Cindy remembers.
Oh
these.
No! Don't quiz me on it, but go ahead.
Cindy and I got married twice, as you heard in the last podcast, once in 2000 on Cumberland Island in Georgia, which was not legally recognized, and then again in 2008 in California.
That's right.
I was crying a lot then.
Yeah. The Malibu brides. But our vows stayed the same, ceremony to ceremony, and we wrote them ourselves. I think you mostly had me do it.
That's right.
I'm the writer. But
you're the writer in the family.
Yeah.
I just practiced crying while I was reading them, so go ahead.
This day, I dedicate myself to love you and honor you and to keep your happiness sacred. I believe in you and support you in your path. May I always take care to remember just what a miracle you are. Let us co-create life together and rejoice that such love has found us. And that was something that we just read to each other.
Yep.
Or said to each other. But, you know, many times an officiant will lead you in each sentence or phrase so that you don't have to remember it all, which of course helps with that nervousness factor.
Right, because your mind does go blank.
Yeah.
It really does. Yeah. It can go blank. So having it written down, there's no shame in having that written on a piece of paper that, again, your best person is holding in the pocket, you know, along with rings or whatever, and can hand you a beautifully typed piece of paper that you can read, you know,
Or you can even have it as a scroll on your altar area that you then pull out or the officiant hands to you. You know, there can be some ritual to it. But definitely having it written down is very helpful, even if it is short. Or having the officiant specifically lead you through it. You know, I promise to love, honor, and cherish. You know, and you say that.
Yeah, having a backup is a good thought if, you know, you fumble and drop the paper, you forget a line, forget your place, have the best man, the officiant there to give you a line. Line, please.
Right, exactly.
Have a little bit of help on that.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think is very sweet and fun is if you share a musician or a song that's really important to to both of you. You can incorporate those lyrics into the vows themselves. One of my particular favorites is Sam Smith, and a song in particular, Latch. Just the first two lines, I think, say something powerful. It's, "You lift my heart up when the rest of me is down. You enchant me even when you're not around," about a love that, you know, extends beyond. That's what this commitment is, a love that extends beyond. So you can incorporate, you know, any lyrics. It doesn't have to necessarily be Sam Smith, but something that's important to you that's going to speak. And, you know, if it's your partner's favorite song, expect to see some tears pretty quickly if that's something you share. But I think that's a really sweet way to say it.
I do too. I think personalizing the vows is wonderful. It's not for everybody, but I think it is something a lot of gay and lesbian couples choose to do because we have worked so hard for the marriage rights and we don't necessarily follow tradition per se in our weddings without thinking through every aspect of it. And so that kind of leads us to personalizing as much as possible. And writing your vows can be fairly easy and fun. There's a lot of ideas to get you started. Going off of a song or a poem, of course, can get you started asking, as Cindy mentioned, family members what they said in their vows, asking your officiant for ideas. Those are all places to start. I am, you know, being a writer, I also latch on to a word or a phrase that I want to include. Like in ours, I wanted to include, keep your happiness sacred, something like that. And so I built on that. You know, you start with something and build on it. But you can make writing your own vows a very, you know, involved moment. You can, yes, you can set a mood for yourself. Okay, sweetie, let's work on our vows tonight. Or if you're doing this separately because you want to keep them a secret from each other, you can, you know, you can go to the paper store and choose some special paper that really calls to you, and then take that home and practice writing on it because it just makes it feel more sacred. Or if you're writing them together, you can set a romantic mood with candlelight and music and the whole thing, and play a little Q&A with each other. Like you can ask, "What is one of the sweetest things I've ever done for you?" Or, "What are some of the best ways I can show you that I love you and that I support our marriage?" And so your partner might share with you some thoughts in those answers that help bring to mind what would be important to mention. Like Ira, you just said in that song, you know, "You support me even when I'm not with you." So that might be important to your partner. So that might be important to mention in your vows. Or three qualities about you that always make me giggle.
I was going to say, bring humor.
Yeah,
that's always good. I love humor. Bring humor, you know, especially if you're going to have it sappy too. It's always fun to kind of, you know, break the ice, especially with your wedding party or just the people that are attending your wedding, you know.
Yeah, it doesn't have to
be. Dropping something funny in there is always good.
Doesn't have to be dry.
You can
feel a little more laid back about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some other questions you might ask each other to get the juices rolling for the writing of the vows are, when it's 20 years from now, what are 5 things you hope that we've accomplished together? What is the highlight about our marriage being legally recognized? How does my heart speak to yours? Tell me a metaphor for how that feels. You know, and if you talk to each other in metaphor a little bit, sometimes some really good imagery will come out of that can be used in the vows. So those are some starting places. But again, I think it's very touching to broaden your circle.
Right.
If you have a favorite uncle or aunt, or, you know, mentor, even, who's not a family member, asking them about their vows or some special rituals they included in their wedding can be such a touching tribute to them and to yourself, because you're wanting to bring a part of them and who they are actively into your marriage. I think that's really sweet and tender and moving.
And take that time.
Yeah.
You know, take that time during that part of your wedding. I mean, you know, we focus on the reception and we focus on making sure our guests are having a good time. But when you're standing up there, just the two of you and your officiant and your best people, you know, that is the moment. That's your time. And it's only going to happen once.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, make it something that is very memorable and special. And, you know, make sure you incorporate that and take your time doing that. Nobody's sitting there is going to be like, hurry up, let's get to the cake. Mm-hmm. You know, they're there because they want to see that happen.
Yes.
They're there because they want to be that witness to that day. And a lot of those people have known you forever, you know, and they want to see that happen. And so make that time as much as you want.
Mm-hmm.
And enjoy it if you can, and not cry through it too much.
Right.
And if you do, it's okay. But, you know, like I said, we worked hard for this, so make sure you take that time. And writing the vows, I mean, you know, take that time and enjoy that process, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, again, it's only going to be once, so.
It can be a learning experience for you both.
That's
right. You might
get
some answers from your partner you never knew.
That's right. I need to
be touched in sweet ways.
Put what Marianne just said that we said in my wallet, right? So
yeah.
So it's been almost 20 years, so I need to pull it out every now and then and make sure. Check, check.
Yeah, that's right.
Check, check. Am I doing this correctly? I promised this almost 20 years ago now.
It's your marriage bucket list. You can make sure you've achieved.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. You know. So.
Yeah, I also wanted to say a lot of times, at least I think, it's the officiant's job to bring in mention of those who are witnessing.
Right.
Being a circle of support for this marriage. I think of it as the officiant's job to mention the spiritual aspects, usually,
right.
Like, you know, you're making this promise before your higher power or your God, or God is a part of this marriage, however you want that worded. But it's not always the officiant's, you know, it's not solely their place. So if it's important to you to mention that in your vows, that's okay too.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, you can't think outside the box of who this promise is to, what the promise is a reminder of, and say what you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Make it your moment.
Yeah. And then along what you were just mentioning, it is wonderful to make a lasting keepsake out of your vows,
mm-hmm.
and have a calligrapher, you know, pen those in a beautiful way and frame that and put it on your wall. Or there are many artists who will write your vows in an artistic way. You know, for instance, with us, trees were important. Bridges were important. There would be a way to add those elements into, you know, a work of art. And then have the vows written in text in some way within those, you know, within that artistic piece. And then frame it and put it on the wall so that we can remember it actively. And a lot of couples find that that is a wonderful way to commemorate the day and also continue to, you know, just keep it in mind realistically that your marriage is not something that just happens once and then you're done. It's something you actively have to contribute to every day to continue to make it work.
That's right. That's awesome.
Yeah. So enjoy. That's a sacred moment of your ceremony that is all you. Yeah. Make the most of that, too. All right, so another of our sponsors for today's podcast is Larry Burroughs Photography. And as a personal mention, I would like to say that Cindy and I love Larry Burroughs Photography. Based in Chicago, Larry is a talented photographer with a sharp eye. More than that, his warm-hearted and fun-loving personality will help any couple feel at ease and relaxed in front of the camera. An active, straight but not narrow advocate of equal rights, Larry Burroughs has enthusiastically supported the LGBTQ community for many years and has been a dedicated participant with the annual Same Love, Same Rights LGBTQ Wedding Expo in Chicago since 2009. We highly recommend his services. Check out Larry Burroughs Photography online for more information. All right, and now we are back, going to speak about current events. Always one of our fun segments here in our podcast.
Something completely different.
Yeah, there you go.
Completely different than what we've been talking about. So I'm sure that you guys have read the story about the lesbian couple on vacation in Hawaii.
Right.
That ended up spending 3 nights in jail after they were arrested for showing affection to each other in a grocery store. Now, I must say that the charges were eventually dropped. I think the women have also filed suit, and the local police have opened an internal investigation on the arresting officer.
Sure.
So, you know, just so...
It's being handled thoroughly.
It's being handled. But really, my question to you two today was more about PDA.
Ah.
right? Now that marriage equality is legal, the law of the land, darn it. You know, how do you feel about holding hands in public or sharing a kiss with your spouse?
Right.
Or your sweetie? You know, is this an issue for the LGBT community that we still, you know, feel like we got to hide our relationship or not show that public, display of affection? You know, is it awkward still for us to walk around the grocery store for holding hands? Or is this an issue for the straight community that, hey, get over it. You know, we're married. Marianne and I should be able to walk down the street holding hands just like any other couple. And, of course, we're not advocating, like, crazy amount of
there's a certain point there.
There's social norms.
Right.
Right?
That apply to everybody.
That apply to everybody. So I'm not saying that we should go above and beyond the social norms. Marianne and I are almost 50. Right? But I'm saying, should we be allowed to walk down the road, down the, you know, our little city, holding hands, and feel like we don't have to hide that?
First of all, I shouldn't. It's just funny to think kissing in the grocery store. I don't know. There's something about that that's funny. I don't often get inspired to kiss you in the grocery store.
Maybe it's the perfect menu for that evening.
Should I be able to pull up to the airport and give you a kiss goodbye when you're heading to Jersey City for our next airport?
You know, we have never held back at the airport of doing that. And I feel like the airport is a place where social norms allow more public displays. But there are other areas where it is more awkward. You know, there are places, and a grocery store in Hawaii, you would think, wouldn't be one of them, but, you know, there are places where you're walking, say, in a, I don't know, a more conservative area, and you might even be in a park, which is usually, it's socially acceptable to hold hands, but you might feel like, oh, I wonder if this will get stares in our direction, or what will happen, if it will be even worse than that, and, you know, I think there's areas where it's harder
geographic
than not.
You know, is the Southern Park a little more scary than
Massachusetts?
Manhattan, you know?
Yeah. I think it is an interesting dynamic. And whose issue is it? I think if you look at, like, the dynamics of being a minority and minority issues, I think it is both our issue as a minority and it is the straight people's issue as the majority. So I think it's both. But I think as a minority, we have to take time to own our own rights and feel comfortable within ourselves and our place. But, you know, it's very interesting.
Well, and I could say, like, when we go to our daughter's school, and we have a 9-year-old, you know, I wouldn't feel comfortable holding your hand because I don't want her to experience something, you know, being said from another kid who saw us hold hands, you know, but
if, or backlash from the parents of another child who is her friend.
Right. Right.
It gets very complicated. Very, very quickly. Yeah.
And most parents there see us and know that we're a couple, you know, so it's not like we hide it, you know, it's not like one of us only goes to her school functions.
Right.
We both go. Yeah. Her teachers know we are a couple and a family, the principal, the vice principal, you know.
Yeah, and they're very welcoming and accepting, but I see your point.
Right.
That, you know, you think about it.
When
does it become a point after a Supreme Court decision that you don't think about it?
You don't think about it. And if I just happen to reach up and hold your hand for whatever reason, shouldn't that be okay? Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was an interesting question.
I think it's kind of sad that we do still have to think about society's perception of us. You know, it takes a long time for people to come around and accept that. In a lot of cases, I don't think the majority should dictate when kids are involved. Of course, that's going to become a different issue. But in general, say you're a couple who's newly married without kids, and you're not having to think about those concerns. I don't think, aside from your personal safety, if you're in an atmosphere where you feel like they're, you know, you're not necessarily around people who would take it very well, that's going to result in a violent situation, then you might want to add the consideration. But being able to show affection, I don't think should be something you should have to think twice about. Now,
right.
Yes, it is, because of course there's your own personal background, how comfortable you feel with that. There's also the location you're in, if you're feeling that people around you are going to act, you know, in a hostile manner toward it.
Obviously, these women didn't think anybody was going to be hostile in the grocery store.
Why?
And then the police officer was.
Right. Now, I was also thinking about this as a generational issue, right? You know, Marion and I will be 50 next year. I came out pretty young. I came out in a time where, you know, you kind of were a little more, you didn't scream and carry on running down with rainbow flags everywhere. You know, you were a little more conservative about being out. Now, are the young 20s or young 30s who are getting married, maybe you're young 30s and you got married, maybe you don't think twice about it, you know, because it's more accepting to be LGBT than it was in 1980-something, you know.
I think we have made a tremendous amount of progress in the past 20 years to see even the attitude of millennials, you know, gay and lesbian couples in the millennial generation, even opposed to my generation. I was born in 1983, so in my 30s, I think it's interesting to see how much of a difference that decade has made in kids who grew up with the idea of acceptance being a norm, not having to think twice. Now, there are, of course, kids who are in families that are a little more conservative that have had to have that battle, but there's so much more support for kids, for couples nowadays, than there was, say, in the 90s. It's easier to be able to find that support, and social media has made that even more powerful.
Right. And I think also from the majority point of view, I think it will be easier when these 30s grow up. Like, you know, they won't be the ones out there harassing an LGBT couple because they're holding hands, where my mother's generation would be the ones possibly harassing or giving the look or just shaking their head or, you know, or whatever that is. The older generation might be the ones that are doing that versus the young 30s. If we walk down our small town holding hands and pass a younger crowd, chances are we might not get looked at as funny as we pass a group of elderly, you know, folks. So
I don't know if that's the case always, though. A lot of times it's still the 30-somethings, the 40-somethings that are having a little bit of a hard time with it.
Yeah.
In any generation, though, there's going to be the pushback. The people who have been, you know, taught generation after generation after generation, this is something you do not condone and accept in any way. Some people who take a violent attitude toward it. So I think there are unfortunately always going to be those people. So there's always going to be that consideration in the back of our minds. We look at, you know, how long it's been for the African American community and how much further we have still to go today.
Yeah.
I think that kind of healing is going to take generation after generation.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyway, that was my current event question today was, you know, how do we handle this new, marriage equality out there?
It extends to even language.
Right.
You know, you're starting to feel comfortable to say, this is my wife, I've noticed.
No, it's taking
and,
me a long
and
time.
And I've seen you, you know, sort of stretch those muscles because, not that you're embarrassed, but it's because you're having to gauge how much work it will take to explain to the person on the other side of the counter if they don't understand what that means.
Right.
And you're like, okay, how much time do I have to put into this,
you
know,
right,
to talk to them about it if they come up with something not necessarily ugly or hostile, but they're just confused.
Right.
And you might not have time to explain, and so you choose a different word. You choose partner.
Right.
You know, you never called me your friend, but it's always partner, and now it's getting to be wife, and you know, so I think that plays into it, too, and it's not necessarily feeling bad about yourself or awkward or anything. It's just about how much time do I have to invest in educating the other person at this moment.
You're exactly right.
You know,
you're exactly right. I've learned at rental cars, when you and I are renting a car, to say you're my wife, because we don't have to pay the extra fee if you're my friend.
There's savings involved.
There is money involved. I'm using wife. But you're right. I have just started saying, oh, this is my wife. You know, where you and I have felt married for almost 20 years now. And I joked, you know, last year when North Carolina, with Married to Quality here in North Carolina, I said, you know, it's very funny that we have felt married forever, and now people believe us when we say it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's odd.
It's odd. It is a little odd that, you know, I can say, well, I'm married, and that they actually believe me. You know, it's an odd thing. You know, it's like, wow, they take me seriously when I, you know, I have to say, well, I feel married, but the law doesn't think I, or I'm married only in California. And when I got on the plane, I'm not married. When I landed in North Carolina, you know, it's, you can just say you're married and people just, okay, you know, and it's like,
not a territorial thing anymore.
Exactly. It's strange.
Yeah, it is. And I think we all live the rest of our lives in that gray area. Whereas, as Ira was saying, you know, generationally, certain people coming up the pipeline now won't go
right
through that.
No.
You know.
Everybody will believe them from day one. You know? Yeah. And that's a really good thing. You remember when marriage equality was only legal in certain states, and you and I would drive and we would joke, you know, okay, we're not married in this state, you know, so be careful. You know, and it's odd to, you know, drive from North Carolina to Georgia and not be married once you reach Georgia. Okay, so don't get hit by the bus, honey. We're not married. You know? And, I mean, it's different. But, so, yeah, so I was more curious about how you guys felt about that public display.
I think it's just
of
one of
socially
those
norm affections.
Yeah, I think it's an evolving issue when these big milestone landmark decisions are made.
Right.
Obviously, it takes a while for the general public to, for the dust to settle and for things to evolve and transform on the actual day-to-day living,
right,
you know, in that universe.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I think that's a natural course of things, but it is interesting. And it will continue to unfold with stories like the one out of Hawaii,
right,
where there's little bumps and bruises along the way, and, you know.
Right,
it's just the natural course.
Right, there's going to be that to get to the final point here of not of it having it not be a big deal,
right,
or not even a deal at all. Mm-hmm. So that's another good Facebook question. Let us know what your thoughts are on that. So Facebook us, or send us something on Twitter.
And again, the Facebook URL is facebook.com/rwncom. Twitter,
mm-hmm.
Gay Weddings,
yeah.
Or you can, of course, check us out online at rainbowweddingnetwork.com, our sister site with the full event calendar posted as of right now for 2016. New events are being added all the time, so keep checking back. That is available online at samelovesamerights.com.
And don't forget, you can donate to this podcast as well to help this keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go online and order tickets for upcoming LGBT wedding expos as well. So we'd love to see you again in 2016 for some of our events that we're having.
Yeah, and tell all your friends about this wonderful new podcast you've been listening to.
Right.
They can, of course, find it on our website at rainbowweddingnetwork.com/podcast. There's an easy link there to listen in, and we hope you'll continue to join us week after week.